All right, we'll start with some parsha, because that's what we do. The battle with Yaakov and the Saros Shel Esav is a very challenging battle to understand. I mean, all the Sefer Bereishis is sort of hard to understand, but this one, like, we don't even know, like, how to picture it. You know, a Malach is not really a physical being, and what does it mean to wrestle, and what does it mean to come away physically injured from a battle with a Malach? So, obviously, we believe that all of Tanakh, with the possible exception of Sefer Iyov, are actual stories that really happened. The narrative of Tanakh are actual events that occurred, but some Rishonim believe that this battle is symbolic, and it was not like a real event in the physical sense, where there was a physical wrestling match. But even, because what does it even mean to fight a Malach, let alone to defeat one, which is, you know, the only way a Malach can be defeated is if his Shlichus was to be defeated, right? A Malach does whatever his Shlichus is, right? It's like the Shlichus of the Yetzer Hara, I guess, is ideally to be defeated, if you understand the Yetzer Hara is the Satan, is whatever. But I always compared it to like the Washington Generals. You know, they have to like pretend they're putting up a fight, but they better lose because the Harlem Globetrotters have to win. You know, you can't, so they have to like act like they're putting up a fight and then lose. Like that's the job of the Yitzhar. So that must have been the Shlichus of this Malach. But there's clearly a lot of symbolism here for future generations. And it's considered to be a major Maisa Avosim Labanim. So I guess the questions are as follows. How does this battle symbolize the eternal battle between Yaakov and Yaakov's adversaries, meaning between Klal Yisrael and those who are against us? Second, why does this battle only occur when Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, when he's alone? Why doesn't it occur at any other time? And third, what does it mean, Vayiga B'Kaf Yirecha, that he was vulnerable, he was harmed, even though he won? So what is that vulnerability, what is that harm that befell him, what does that represent for us as a Maisav Osim Lebanim for Dorei Doros of Klal Yisrael? So there's a beautiful Drush Sefer, Chidushei Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemia. Anyone familiar with this Sefer? Well, so it's good to be. Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, who was the chief rabbi of Krakow in pre-World War II Europe. He was a great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer on both his mother's and his father's side. His parents were first cousins. So he was a great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer. He has great-grandchildren who live in the Five Towns, so they got me the Sefer. One of them showed me he has in his house the Ksav Rabbanus that they sent him. Used to send when they would invite a Chashva Rav to an important community, they would send like this whole like giant cloth, this whole, you know, offering him the position. I met an old man once many years ago who told me that he was a little boy and he remembered Rabbi Yosef Nechemia coming to town to take over the Rabbanus, and it was like a huge event. Like he was a megastar in terms of Rabbanus in the 1930s in Europe. So Rabbi Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer has a beautiful Sefer of Drush. Sefer of Drush. I first discovered it by listening to Shirim from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichron Levracha. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein was, I'm sure many of you have listened or should listen anyway to his Parsha Shiurim. So he used to always quote Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. So Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer quotes from the Zaydi, quotes from the Chassam Sofer, who in turn quoted from the Shlach HaKadosh, that Vayiga Bekaf Yerech Yaakov, Yerech is Rashi Tevos, he quotes from the Shlach HaKadosh of Yam, Rakia, and Kise. And Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho, Bekaf, is of the Rashi Tevos of Yam, Rakia, and Kisei. Yaakov was harmed on the Kisei, namely the key, you know, of the Yud, not the Yam, not the Rakia, but the Kisei. And that's where the Chassam Sofer leaves it. So I'm like, okay, what in the world do you do with that? What's the Yam, the Rakia, and the Kisei? What does it mean to be harmed by the Kisei and not by the Yam and the Rakia? So that's where Yosef Nechemia comes in. He says, I need to give you a little bit of background over here. He says the three items alluded to in the word Yerech are the, you know, the Yam, the ocean, Rakia, the firmament, I think is the way our school normally translates, and the Kisei is the throne, obviously. It appears in the Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Gimel in a different context, right? The Gemara Menachos in Perek HaTcheles talks about what the Tcheles is supposed to be reminiscent of. And the Gemara talks about the value and the meaning of Tcheles. Remei Romer, Manishtana Tcheles Mikol Gavanin, why is it Tcheles as opposed to any other color? El Mnei Shehu Domali Yam, V'yam doma l'rakia, v'rakia l'kisei hakavod. You have these same three steps. You have the yam, the rakia, and the kisei. So you see that apparently the tcheles is supposed to remind us of these same three things. So the obvious question on the Gemara is, why do you need the intermediary steps? Meaning, if you know what the kisei looks like and you know that it's supposed to be royal blue, so let the tcheles remind you of the kisei. What do you need the yam and the rakia in between? The goal of seeing the kisei hakavod l'chora is shivisi Hashem l'negdi samin, is that a person should have a sense of the presence of the Ribbono Shel. That's what the Rama identifies at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch as the best bet to successfully observe Torah and mitzvos is shivisi Hashem l'negdi samin, to feel like you're in the presence of the Shechina. So what do you need the Yam and the Rekia for? So Rav Yosef Nechemya suggests that Chazal were taking their cue over here from the Parsha of Tzitzis, which seems to contain three extra themes. Meaning when Chazal identified Doma L'yam, Doma L'rakia, Doma L'kisei, they were actually looking at the Parsha of Tzitzis in the Torah. And they saw that in the Parsha of Tzitzis in the Torah, there seemed to be a bunch of extra phrases that don't really belong. And they took those themes and used them as a model after which to determine what the Tcheles is supposed to remind us of. It doesn't say Urisa Masos Chartem Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It has Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem Leman Tizkru Visim Kadoshim Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Totally unnecessary components to the parsha that somehow have an effect. So here's where Rav Yosef Nechemya goes with this. He says, let's break it down into groups of three. In general, they say in drushas you're supposed to break things down into groups of three. Rav Yosef Nechemya was the master of this. It was always three. Three of he was very into he has drusha after drusha that he gave on Pesach Matzah Umarah. You know, when it comes time to Pesach, because when he saw a three, he all his antenna went up, and he was so. He says, let's break this down to three things that are challenges to our avodas Hashem, that are threats to our avodas Hashem. That in the parsha of Tzitzis, where we're being told that we're supposed to remember the kisei hakavod, we're supposed to remember our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are three things and we're supposed to remember all the mitzvot in Torah. There are three things that tend to get in our way more than all others. This first thing that tends to get in our way is that we must always remember v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. We sometimes become a little too selfish. We sometimes forget that there's a bigger Klal Yisrael out there. We get very caught up in our own lives. Rabbi Penner just came back from Eretz Yisrael. He told me one of the things that impacted him a great deal after spending a day in Eish HaTorah is the sense of achrayus that for Klal Yisrael that people have, and that we have to do more here to inculcate just a sense of achrayus, a sense of responsibility for Klal Yisrael, to look outside of ourselves and appreciate the importance of being achray for the Jewish people. Hillel told the Ger, Mesecha Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, that that's the foundation of the entire Torah. Right? Ma'adalach sni l'chavchal asavit, idach perusha zil gemar. To fulfill the mitzvahs, we have to realize that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us with are opportunities to share with others. We've mentioned this already many times. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, if you know Aleph, go teach Aleph to somebody else. If you know Beis, teach Beis to somebody else. If you have money, you can use it to enrich the lives of others. If you have wisdom, you can use it to teach others. When the Mishnah devises in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, have a musunim bedim, ve'amidu talmidim harbei, va'asus yag l'torah, the three are connected, they actually flow from each other. A person has to take other people's money very seriously, not just flippantly issue a verdict. If there's a din that comes in front of you, and it's two people, okay, so I'll say, yeah, no, well, I'll paskin, asr, mutter. You have to also think about how it impacts the person's life. And therefore, mesunim bedin, you have to really think about it, take it seriously, and it's always a good message for future rabbis to realize that whatever answer you give may have an impact on their lives. Maybe not so much on your life, but it may have an impact on their lives. So mesunim bedin, take it seriously. Take it with great patience. The judges have to use their chachma to also share with others. Hamidu talmidim harbe. Make sure that if you have the ability to teach people, so hamidu talmidim harbe. Share that with other people. And only if you do those two steps, then you will have succeeded in asu siyag l'torah, in making a siyag l'torah. When you understand that your gifts are a responsibility to share with others, you'll be able to protect your own Torah learning. So point number one is, remember, Klal Yisrael is bigger than any one of us. And for that message, we look at the Yam. Why do we look at the Yam? Says Rav Yosef Nechemia, because the Yam receives an abundance of water, but it never overflows. Why? Because its water is shared and flows out for others to use. It flows out into other areas, other waterways. So Chazal saw that message in Lo Sasuru Achrei Levavchem VeAchrei Einechem. Lo Sasuru Achrei Levavchem VeAchrei Einechem means don't just go for whatever your heart desires, whatever looks interesting to you, whatever looks exciting to you. Don't indulge yourself. Instead of indulging yourself, look to share with others. That's the message of Yam. Second, says Rav Yosef Nechemia, we need to distance ourselves from improper influences, from people who could impact us in a negative way. Particularly after having internalized the first message of Avas Habrios, so we have to be very careful to distinguish between those who will positively affect us and those who will do the opposite. Vavdil eschem min ha'amim lios li. Chazal understand, as long as that we are moved al min ha'amim, then we will be lios li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Then we'll be associated with Hashem. But there needs to be a certain sense of Havdalah. And to that, says Rav Yosef Nechemia, Chazal tells us to take a look at the Rakia. The Rakia's purpose is described in Parshas Bereishis, Lahavdil bein hamayim elyonim and hamayim atachtonim. That the whole point of the Rakia, the whole function of the Rakia, is a mechitza of sorts, to separate the Bnei Aliyah from the Tachtonim. And that's where in the Parsha of Tzitzis, it reminds us, L'man tizkuru, to be kedoshim, our love of others can't be permitted to affect our own kedusha, that we can't allow ourselves to be dragged down into the gutter. Mashal ma davidoma, you have a person who wants to be an effective high school Rebbe, let's say, an effective middle school Rebbe. And the truth is, just agav, there's a need for a lot of them. You know, it used to be just a few years ago that the field of chinuch was flooded, and that when I left DRS on a full-time basis, they had 70 resumes. Rabbi Storch had 70 resumes on his desk 2 days later. 70 resumes. Now they can't find enough people to even apply. To fill the positions, not necessarily in DRS, thank God they're in good hands, but I'm just saying in chinuch in general, they don't have 70 anymore either when something opens up. So there is but when one is trying to be an effective mechanich, so you want to share what you have, you want to share your Torah, you want to be mashpia, you want to connect, one has to be careful that that's what you're doing, that you're being mashpia rather than being, you know, they say, oh, the only way to connect is if I watch the same movies that they watch, and I, you know, I have to talk on the same level where the kids are at. You have to meet them where they are. Meeting them where they are means understanding them. It doesn't mean being them, right? A kid doesn't want his Rebbe to be a kid. He wants his Rebbe to be a Rebbe who understands him and who doesn't judge him for what he does, and who loves him and who cares for him. But it's something that's that sometimes, especially when starting out, mechanchim sometimes have a difficult time with that balance. So that's stage two. Stage three, says Rav Yosef Nechemia, is that there's a powerful force in determining people's outlook in general in the world, in determining people's hashkafos, and that force is called consensus. You know, you tend to believe that if the masses believe or value something, then it must be correct, right? If billions of people believe that something is true, if millions of people believe something is true, how can they all be wrong? In the Yesh HaTorah seminars that they do, I don't think I ever mentioned Yesh HaTorah twice in one time. In the Yesh HaTorah seminars that they used to do, the Kiruv seminars, they would say, you know, that one of the big taimas against Judaism is, you know, we're ma'at mikol ha'amim, and how could a billion Muslims all be wrong? So their teretz is, according to a billion Muslims, a billion Christians are wrong and making a mistake that's going to doom them to eternal damnation. And a billion Christians think that a billion Muslims are making a mistake that's going to doom them to eternal damnation. So, you know, l'may naf kamina, whether it's a billion people that are wrong or 2 billion people that are wrong. I mean, l'maysa, our outlook is, there's a nice story that Rav Elchanan quotes in Kovitz Ma'amarim with Rebbe Sinaipshitz like this, that someone asked Rebbe Sinaipshitz, don't you Jews believe in Achri Rav Nahatos, that you have to follow the Rove? So Rebbe Sinaipshitz said, yeah, but that's only when all of the judges are unbiased. But if they're nogeya b'davar, so then it's a different story, and everyone's nogeya b'davar to try to make it that that they should be able to indulge in whatever they like to indulge in. So you have to be totally unbiased. You have to take a totally unbiased look at the world. But there is this powerful force that people tend to believe whatever society believes. There's a mashal kol hamon kikol shakai, that the popular belief becomes like the voice of God. A Ben Aliyah who knows the truth has to be able to withstand whatever consensus society has and fight for what's actually right. And that's the Maila of Avraham Avinu. Right? Avraham Avinu, Rav Salvechik famously said in Drasha, is called Ivri. Why? Because he's Be'ever Echad, he's on one side, and the whole rest of the world is on the other side. He was going to be thrown into a Kivshan Esh because he was saying something that was true, but that nobody else believed. And Hashem himself demonstrates that midah dafka, says Rav Yosef Nechemia, when he takes us out of Mitzrayim. Because all the malachim, malu and mata, were arguing, according to the Medrash, that the Jewish people are no better. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, halalu of the Avodah Zarah. We're no better than the Egyptians. Of course, Baruch Hu said, all the malachim could scream all they want, but I know what's right. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. And that's the third reminder of the Tchelis. That's the Kisei HaKavod. Kisei HaKavod is not a kisei, it's a kisei HaKavod. HaKavod means that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't require the kavod of others. It's an inherent kavod, it's a unique kind of kavod. Most of the time kavod is when someone else shows you kavod, when someone else shows you honor. Kisei HaKavod means that it's inherently honorable. The pasuk in Parshat Tzitzis tells us to remember, Asher Tzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim because he knew to ignore the protests of the Malachim. And that's Vayivasar Yaakov Levado. Yaakov was left alone. It's not an indication of his vulnerability. That's an indication of his strength. It's not that, you know, the way it's typically understood, had Yaakov not been alone, then he never would have been subject to the attack of Esau. No, had Yaakov not been alone, symbolically, Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, if we are not alone, well, then we succumb to the attack of Esau. It's only because we are alone that we're able to defeat Esau. It's very difficult to escape without being affected by whatever society believes in some way or another. Vayiga b'kaf yirecho, the kisei of all the yam, the rakia, and the kisei. The kisei is the part that we're most vulnerable in because that's the most powerful. It's the most powerful force, but we have to be able to withstand the challenge of Esav. And Chazal allude to that in Chulun Daf Tzadi Aleph, when they say, Vayavik Ishimo, Malamed Shehela Avak at Kisei HaKavod, that the dust of their fight went until up to the Kisei HaKavod. Because that's what it was that's what it was all about. That's Vayiga B'Kaf Yerech Yaakov, that the vulnerability is in the Chaf, in the Kisei, in the sense of Jewish pride, of valuing what's truly valuable, even if the world doesn't tend to see its value. People see Judaism is a big machlokas going on right now about what Judaism is in the secular world. What are we? Are we a religion? Are we a nationality? Are we? And people have very strong opinions. If you say one side or the other, people have no shaychus to Torah and mitzvahs, have very strong opinions about what a Jew is. So we have to understand that if Judaism in our generation is associated with whatever, with who was it? Rabbi Weider just gave the Musar Shmuz. I love his Musar Shmuz. But he just gave a Musar Shmuz. But for some people, Judaism is associated with right wing politics. For others, it's being a liberal. It's neither. That's not what Judaism is. Judaism is not right wing. It's not left wing. It's not politics. Judaism is Judaism. It's Yiddishkeit. It's our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Kisei. It's Kaf Yirecho. And as we approach Chanukah, that's really what we're remembering. The association with the Kisei means that we're celebrating Rabbim Biad Matim, that we're willing to ignore the Rabbim who may impose foreign values and instead stand up, Mila Hashem Elai, for people who are dedicated directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the eternal battle of the Jewish people that's symbolized by the battle of Yaakov and Esav.